afternoon, the last section of the property show. And we've got one for Mike next. Hi, quick question. We have a bazooka in Europe now, but what will be the next step or weapon of choice once the can reaches European foot again?
Yeah, I think I know what that means.
Please.
We have a bazooka. The authorities have announced the bazooka, and as I said on here, the day they announced it,
it's not loaded.
There's no ammunition. Germany's the only one with any ammunition, and it hasn't unlocked its arsenal yet. So don't worry, there is no bazooka. It's a PR exercise. It's a confidence or a misconfidence exercise. Designed to try and make people feel that they're in control of a situation they're not, because until they release the arsenal of ammunition, there is no bazooka. It's just a threat, an empty threat. So again, you know, it's detail, and I get so frustrated on here because everyone calls me a nerd because I say detail, detail, detail. Don't believe
Who's
the headline.
You a nerd?
They do. Oh, I get called a nerd all the time. Because people say, oh, you go on about the detail. You need to understand the detail. You only need to read any serious piece on the European bazooka to understand that there's no ammunition. All right? Germany and Finland and Holland have already gone back on the idea that they would bail out the Spanish banks and the Irish banks who were relying on that. They've gone back on it now and said, no, not the legacy problems, just the new ones. Well, the legacy problems they've just had valued at a 60-odd billion. It's going to be at least 150. That's a joke as well. So every sort of number you see coming from government, just forget it. Honestly, do the detail. Read the Financial Times. Look up people like Mohammed El-Erian, which I'll come on to in a second. Look up Nouriel Roubini. Go on Google, because these guys are giving their opinion all the time. Look at what's really being said, not what the simple press want to feed you as hype in a three-word headline. Because a three-word headline tells you nothing.
Mm.
It really tells you nothing.
There was interesting, so I don't know if you saw this, it just came off, I think, the BBC, it was about J.P. Morgan. Apparently, Jamie Dimon, chief executive of J.P. Morgan Chase, has said the U.S. housing market has turned the corner.
Yeah, well, he would do, wouldn't he? He's got so much owed in mortgages, he's got to say that. He's been saying it for 4 years, I should think.
Well, they did say that the...
Jamie Dimon is the guy who told you when they discovered this huge problem in the London CIO office that it was going to be $2 billion. Well, last count I saw, and it came out in that article, is 7, and they still haven't dealt with 20% of the problem. And you know, when you're on a diet, which is the first 80% you lose? That's the easiest bit. So the 20% they've got left, and they've already lost $7 billion, and every time they announce a little bit more, they do it on a bad news day or a high news day. It's unbelievable what these guys get away with in news management.
It says, well, JP Morgan said it made a modest loss
yes.
in the quarter from what is left of the portfolio that has lost it an estimated $5.8 billion.
Yeah, well, it's now 7, according to the FT. And I've said from the beginning, when they announced 2, I said it'd be at least 10. Well, we're going to go past 10 easily. Well, but again, go back to the whole crisis. When the whole crisis started, Ben Bernanke, the head of the Fed, who you'd think would be reasonably informed, said it would be a $50 billion problem. I said $2 trillion. It's $3.4 trillion now and still going.
Ouch.
So I don't listen to these people. Their whole interest is in telling you a number that makes you feel at least comfortable whilst they try and deal with the real number, which is obviously a lot worse, or they just don't know what they're doing.
Mm.
Either of those sort of conclusions is pretty worrying, really, from a point of view of you. The article I wanted to draw people's attention to, if I could today, Siobhan, was, and again, please, people, if you want it, just send me an email and I'll send it to you. There is a piece out today in the Foreign Policy magazine. It's dated today, but I got it 2 days ago from a client. It's called Blame Game. Want to avert another global recession? Stop the finger pointing. It's written by a guy that I often mention on this show called Mohammed El-Erian. He is the co-head of PIMCO. It's the largest bond fund in the world. He is an incredible writer, speaker. He just has a very clear way of telling you what's going on. And when you read this article, and we haven't got time, obviously, to go through it really in depth now, but when you read this article, it is so stunning in its simplicity. Again, everyone is looking to blame someone. No one is looking for the problem. So they're all trying to find who caused the crisis. No one is trying to deal with the crisis itself. Okay, so you're all busy trying to find out who gave us this problem, rather than actually saying what problem have
what
we still we got. And you know, it's brilliant because, again, and even Mohammed has only got a certain amount of space here that he can write in. He says, banks are obviously the first target. And he's saying, you know, people are blaming the banks. Top of the list, he says, top of the list of bad guys, banks. He says, banks compounded the mistake by massively leveraging their balance sheets. Do you know what they did that in 29? They did that in 29, which caused the Great Depression. They allowed people to leverage up on stock purchases, and then they cut the margin out. So they did it again. They've done exactly the same this time, making a whole set of expensive side bets and moving activities to unregulated areas. And here again, we get the banks blaming the regulators, but the banks moved everything into unregulated vehicles so that they couldn't be seen.
Couldn't be regulated.
Then we get the regulators blaming the government, but the banks were lobbying the government. So the banks were lobbying the government, hiding things from the regulators, and still don't want to be blamed. Honestly, the banks here are absolutely centre and front of every problem we've got, because as I keep saying on this show, they are the gatekeepers. They are the people, the only people, who can stop the public from becoming overexposed. They say yes or no to a loan. And they will blame now the regulators, and the regulators will blame the government, and the government will come round and blame the banks, and it goes round in a circle, but no one is actually doing anything about it. And here we have the banks now resisting the Volcker rule, which is a fantastic rule being brought in by Paul Volcker, globally respected man who fought inflation in the 70s, and the banks are lobbying against it so that you can't bring in the 4 years on into a financial crisis, and the Volcker rule is still not in place. Why? Because banks are lobbying the regulators and the government that it shouldn't
that
be put in.
Just cripple them.
And who leads the banks in that? Jamie Dimon. There's your man. Along with Bob Diamond, who fortunately isn't there anymore.
Yes.
So we've done that one. And how many people had a go at me for attacking Bob Diamond? Honestly. These people, their PR machines are wonderful. And people really get sucked into believing that these people are genuinely operating in everyone's best interests. They are not. They're operating in their sole best interest. They really don't care, because if they did care, banks would be paying a lot more tax. They don't pay hardly any. Banks would be doing a lot more for society. They don't. Banks would... Oh, so much banks could do, but they're not doing. Because they seem to be, I don't know, they've lost themselves, I think. They're so inward-looking now, and they're so trying to find other people to blame for the problems that they've caused. I don't think they're doing the job. But again, please, anyone who wants this article, it is in Foreign Policy magazine. It's absolutely unbelievably simple. It's only, what is it? It's less than a page, really, if I take out my own commentary within it. It's only a page long. Fantastic way for you to understand
what's
going on.
Thanks very much, Mike, for that insight. We're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid. Let's say a big thanks, as always, to the contributors on this show. Every Sunday, of course, Ludmila Yamalova joins us, managing partner with Yamalova and Plefka Legal Consultants. Sorry, Dr. Michael, we've just completely run out of time, but let's give out your website if we can. Perhaps he can contact you there.
Right, our website is www.lyhplaw.com.
Thank you very much, Ludmila.
Thank you.
And big thanks to Mike Small of VSM Consulting. How can our listeners contact you if
they'd
like to?
Contact me, and especially to get that article from Ellerium, because please, if you want to know what's going on, get this article and read it. It's very simple. All they've got to do is text the letters VSM to number 5269, and that should come through to my email.
Thank you very much to both of you. Well, we look forward to welcoming you guys back, of course, on Sunday, and of course Ludmila back on Tuesday, where we have our legal hour, so save up your legal questions for then as well. I'm going to be at JITEX for the rest of the week as well, bringing you all the latest news and updates from this technology show.